Right? We're coming down Route 14. I'm walking by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Yes, well, one day. Yeah, one day roadblocks won't stop us.
Do you like your new funky rug next door?
Thank you, Bill, for that.
It's easier to clean.
Thank you, Bill.
I appreciate the work.
Hallelujah. Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome. This is fun. This is fun. We see all these faces. We have Barbara over here. I don't know where Jeanette is. Was Jeanette there this morning? Okay, is she coming over? Oh my goodness, there's Wayne. Hello, Wayne. Good to see you, sir. How are you? Ooh, if you can't bring in a dog, you got him on your shirt. I like that. That's good. Come on. Who's? Is this your birthday? And this is his father. Come on, and his dad is here. I'm sorry, your first name again?
Don.
Whoa.
Don Burke's an old musician. You should get him up there and play some guitar for us.
Oh, wow. It's out of the bag now, Don.
That's right.
It's out of the bag.
You can old-time rock and roller with me. We played some blues together in our day.
Okay. You guys are on for a worship night.
Absolutely. Now, if you ever had an understanding of the definition of dance, moving by the Spirit, it's called epikoriego. This is what's happening this morning.
Amen.
This isn't just a religious gathering.
No.
This is a family coming together, and the Holy Spirit is orchestrating. And welcome for those of you, I have to keep remembering there's others that are watching as well. Brian, who with Bill in 1995 placed this carpet on the floor. Since that time, because Brian had his guitar, we were tuning up, but because of the meds that he's on, his voice wasn't right, so he asked if he could do it next Sunday. Brian has dealt with MS, various incisions and removal of cancer, and more recently is having, it's a new therapy, if you will, of actually going right into the bone marrow to purpose to remove the cancer. But he's also looking at two hip replacements. And he apologized this morning because his voice, because the meds he's on, he says, Lonnie, let's do it next Sunday. See, there's that which is the substance of a living household. Mm-hmm. Paul spoke about living stones in 1 Peter. It's not by chance that Don is here. It isn't by chance that Barbara is here. It's the family of God. It's a tapestry, living, a living organism, a living, breathing family. We'll be taking communion. Jesus' body was broken. Then when the body of the bride, his true bride, comes, she begins to make the body of Christ, the person of Christ, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And see,
can you turn that up?
Do you want me to be louder? I'll be louder. I think. I'm trying to compose myself. Thank you, Ben.
No need to do that here.
It is in the sense that I have to, you know, because I get emotional and all those things, and I want to be effectual this morning. We had a tremendous leadership meeting at Sean Wilder's house on Friday. And I want you to know how much we appreciate and love every one of you. The purpose of the Father right now is to hear his voice, learning how, and respond to the calling. And I'm so grateful because each and every setting, whether it be the men's group, the small group, personal families, It challenges this carnal man. Because this carnal man will fail you. But it challenges us as leadership. Because we just don't come up here on a Sunday morning and talk to you and say, all right, go walk this out. It's being worked in us as leadership for months, years. Where when we come together, as you're going to see more as we talk about young Samuel, we too are learning the voice of the Lord. But yet also being obedient and responding to it. And so I want to encourage you of the moment of time of where we're in. Because when God speaks, He enables, He empowers. His word never falls to the ground, nor does it return void to Him. So in turn, if that which He has spoken, it's going to penetrate and it's going to hope to go past this enmity. This thing is that so set against a loving, supernatural Father that would allow His Son to die for us in our place of our sinful nature. And you're made up of spirit, soul, and body. So just orchestrating this morning, even with Brian trying to be available to minister to you. Brian does. We go into a quiet time and we just run our mouths. God, you're not doing this, and why are you doing that? Will you do this? Are you going to do that? What's happening? What's wrong with this guy here? How come there's not something going on with him? So what did the Lord do? He brings in a 13-minute dance.
Last week.
And He says, to start everything off, I'm going to give you the opportunity to practice My presence.
Yeah.
And none of you are prepared for it.
Barbara
Dean wasn't even prepared for it. She came up to me Sunday morning and she said, Pastor, she says, I tried to get into the church and it was locked. And so I haven't even had time to practice. Should I still go through with it? Of course you should.
Amen.
Because it was the Spirit of the Lord. Show me Your face, Lord. 13 minutes. He invited us that we might be quiet enough that He would show us His face. He doesn't want to just give you the ability to hear Him. He wants you to come to know Him. Face to face. The Old Testament, there was a veil. Jesus died on the cross, went to hell, took all of the power from Satan, of sin and death, rose, seated at the right hand of the Father. And when that foundation cracked, When that lightning struck, when that tear dropped, however you want to look at it, according to the movie, but according to the word, the veil was rent. And no longer could a high priest only go in once a year into the presence of God. No longer did you and I have to go before a burning bush as Moses. As David lied upon the altar, the ark. Father says, I want to look into your eyes. I formed you. Psalms 139. I fashioned you even before you were in your mother's womb. Before you knew your mother. Before you knew your dad. Look around. Not a single mistake in this house.
That's right.
Not an accident. Oh, gee, should you birth control? Has that ever prevented God? It didn't with us. We had three daughters and we were doing fine with birth control. And then 8 years later, guess who came along? Jedediah, beloved of God. Nothing can stop the creative power of God. And so here we have young Samuel, and you heard about that which under the the priest Eli, as a young man, God introduced himself to come to know his voice. And through the process of time, if you were doing your homework, as Kathy asked you to do, and read 1 Samuel, as Samuel became older, a prophet, a seer, and in those days, if you lost your livestock, there were reputable seers, godly men, that could tell you where your livestock had wandered off to.
Come on. Now they have GPS.
You got it. But he was also a judge. He was the last of 14 judges over Israel. And as he's getting older, the people, the elders of Israel said, you know what, Samuel? There really isn't anybody old here. Good morning. You know, Samuel, you're getting old. Your sons really don't want to follow the priesthood, be a judge in that way. We want a king. We want a king. So mind you, Samuel, we want to hear the voice of the Lord. Well, there's places where the voice of the Lord's going to bring us that we maybe didn't expect to go. So Samuel goes to the father. What is going on here? He said, heed to what they want to say, what they want. Give them a king. They're not rejecting you, Samuel.
That's right.
They're rejecting me. Does time repeat itself? Time repeat itself. And so then you follow the story, and then you have what takes place? Father speaks to Samuel. Out of the tribe of Benjamin. Probably the most handsome man around. Burly, strong, epitome of the macho man. The father says, give them what they want. Give them Saul. So, Saul's ruling and reigning, and some victories, some defeats, some victories and defeats. And then Israel comes up against the Amalekites. God gives the Amalekites to Israel, but Saul disobeyed the Father. Sinned against the Father. So whether Samuel has to go to Saul. I'm trying to weave a picture for you that hearing his voice requires not just hearing, but it requires an obedience, a response, a surrender. And often when we say that we're asking for humility, we say, be careful when you ask for humility. Because he'll take you further than you want to go, or thought, or planned. Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hearing the voice of the Lord. First Samuel 16, we pick up the story. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? Samuel knew what was before him. God spoke to him that he was going to find one to replace him. And if you read the story, I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite. I have provided myself a king amongst his sons. Samuel says, how can I go? If Saul hears of it, he'll kill me.
Yeah.
Wayne, you want to hear the voice of the Lord? I want to make this real for you because this is current. This is present day. Even the songs that we were singing, demonstrating, asking the Father to make this real. You know, kids today, young people, things have to be relevant. Is this story relevant to you? Because you've been called. How will we respond? But the Lord said to Samuel, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. We're going to go to verse 5. And he said, peaceably, I have come to sacrifice. This is being Samuel. Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice. See, whenever a prophet, judge came into the city, everybody trembled. Everybody knew the authority that the judge carried, what the prophet carried. And they're just saying, why is Samuel here? This isn't just a family visit. There's something going on. There's authority in the house. Father is about ready to show up. And as you begin to develop as a young Samuel or a David, you develop hearing the voice of the Lord, you'll begin to identify the three persons. When the Holy Spirit comes, you just feel this kind of breath, breathing, this fresh breeze come along. And then when the presence and this voice of Jesus comes, you begin to feel this peace and this calming and times of almost deliverance or peacefulness or an assurance or a stability. Mm-hmm. But if you ever remember when your dad walked in or came home from work? When the Father wants to talk to you? It's a different atmosphere. It's a different purpose. It's a greater authority, though they all have the authority as Jesus does. Amen. Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come to me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Verse 16. So it was when they came, he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord has anointed, Lord's anointed is before me. What would the song? Isn't that amazing? Who picked the songs this morning? Did you pick the songs?
The Holy Spirit.
Listen, now listen to this. And what was the song? Not by sight, but by faith? Come on. So it was when they came, and he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord, Lord's anointed is before me. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't look at his appearance. or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. Samuel isn't 14 years old any longer. Anybody think that you've arrived and you've got all the answers? I would imagine Samuel's probably in his 80s, maybe older. Because Saul reigned for 40 years. We're ever learning. We're always practicing. The word speaks, practice your spiritual senses. Because this old flesh, these old fleshy desires will deceive you every time. It wants to be satisfied. It wants to be gratified. It doesn't want you in the presence of God. It doesn't want you to be quiet. Doesn't want you to learn the voice of the Lord. Doesn't want you to surrender. Oh, you can listen all you want. I'll give you that. Sure, I won't create too much interference that you can't hear him. But guess what? I got some snares that's going to keep you from saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to do this. It's just going to pass you by. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees. For a man looks at the outward appearance. But the Lord looks at the heart. Verse 10. Thus Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. Samuel said to Jesse, is this it? Is there any more? And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, being Jesse, there remains yet the youngest. He was 15. And there he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit till he comes here. Verse 12, so he went and brought him in. Now he was ready and bright-eyed and good-looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint, for this is the one. Each one called. It wasn't about their stature. It wasn't about who they thought they were. Not too old, not too young. When God calls, God chooses. Did David respond?
Yeah.
Greatly. We talked about hearing the voice of the Lord. I'm trying to keep this condensed if I can, because I'm hoping that all of you from the food outreach will hear it all. Then we heard about the calling. And we in turn heard about the response. But for me, as we've had this opportunity in these days ahead, or these days past, where are we headed? What's the destination? What's the purpose? To hear his voice and to be called. Both Samuel and David, both alike, were young. Called at a young age, responded at a young age. Not had any kind of a influence or stature or anything that could have swayed or provoked anything that would be recognizable, other than they responded to the voice of the Lord, what the Lord wanted. As I was preparing this and asking the Father, how do we move into a setting to where back to current, present day reality? We want to hear the voice of the Lord. We're kind of seeing now that there's some requirements or responsibility that goes with that. We understand that there's a calling and we need to respond to the calling. But then I began to say, all right, Lord, there needs to be a destination. There needs to be a purpose, a reason why. Go to Psalms 84, if you would, please. Because David, probably the greatest example, where the Father looks at the heart. Now, this is just a really simple psalm. And I sing it, I refer to it often. There are songs that are written concerning it. Am I losing anybody, or are you still interested? All right. Psalms 84, verse 10. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere in the house of my God. Than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. This is where it begins to go to destination. David's desire of even being just anything in the house of the Father became his identity. Became his identity. All David wanted to do is be known that I live in my Father's house. I'm part of the family. I'm identified with who he is and what he does. And that is all I need. I don't need to be king. I don't need to rule. I would only desire to be known that I am one. I'm a family member. I'm part of the household of God. So then that brings us to hearing his voice, responding to the call. Is this to be a better person? Better husband? Better wife? Better parent? Is that our destination? Is that our end goal? She's good. She's okay. I mean, can you imagine? Aren't you glad we're in the day? Can you consider all of the home churches that had families? That there were no diapers in those days? There were livestock in most of the places where people lived? Probably a few dogs around? Our destination is our identity. And I'm going to read this. And this is Paul. This is Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. One thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind me. And reaching forward to the things which are ahead. To press on to the goal of the prize of the great calling. Small group, marriage encounter, men's group, CCC, Sunday mornings, prayer. And Ephesians 4 says it well. That all would come to a perfect man, to the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, we're in such a wonderful time. When I began to see what was taking place for the leadership, those that have purpose to serve you, the atmosphere was crazy, wasn't it, Sean? And see, we're not here just to try to tell you what to do and not live it. And so in turn, to see the presence of God, because it was something only God could do. All the frailty, all the things that physically assault us, he promises in our weakness he'll become strength. And so all of the things that we put our hands to We as leaders are trusting him, but the loving presence of one another, the care for one another, that which was being demonstrated and brought into each one of you. Because where we go, you go. Isn't that what the word says? Where the shepherds go, the sheep follow. We're accountable. And so as we're beginning to move more into hearing the voice of the Lord, our refining of asking the Holy Spirit, is there anything first in me that would prevent that from taking place? Because then that's going to prevent you. And so we begin to see this move of the presence of God saying, but this is where I am right now. This is where we are in the story. And you don't want to hold back because the destination will become your identity. Jesus says they'll hate you because they hated me. Does anybody hate you for who you are? Are you known well enough that people hate you because you're that crazy Christian? That born-again guy, you know? Probably roll on the floor. Probably raise your hands up and say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So I guess the important part is that this is where we are in God's story. Psalms 139, you have your story, what was written by him that is part of his story. So in turn, everything that we do is moving us because his story says that the destination is the stature of the fullness of my son. Because when they say you, Dustin, they'll see him. They won't see you, they'll see him. Isn't that what Jesus said? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And if we are to be the fullness of the stature of Christ, then it's no longer that we that live, but Christ who lives in us. And so to hear the voice of the Lord, well, that's a fearful thing to be in the hands of the Lord. Just read Samuel's story. Read David's story. But what is so wonderful is it's part of the character building, the stature building, the chiseling of the rough spots, the... Some take jackhammers, but the chiseling of rough spots. But the sanctification. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory. Just look at David's life. Through repentance and godly sorrow, he was restored back to what? Everybody knows him as a man after the heart of God. Not his sin, not his successes, a heart after God, a lover. His soul loved God. One day in your courts, oh God, let me just sweep floors in your house. I'll clean toilets. I don't care. Just that I would know that I'm never going to leave your presence because it's my dwelling now. I'm not in and out of your house. I want to be in the house and serve. I want to remain in the house. I want to be acknowledged. I want to see. I want to touch. I want to feel. I never want to leave your household. I never want to go outside to the tents of the wicked. I've done that. And so this is where we are in God's story. Close it here and simplify it. Church age is coming to a close. Babylon is coming down. As it was in the upper room. Thousands were invited. Jesus said, listen, I want you to go up in that upper room and I want you to wait for 10 days. And there's going to be a power that comes upon you from the Father. This is a feast time. Thousands of people in Jerusalem. 120 left. Could have been more because they didn't count the men and women at that time, but possible. They were all there keeping an Old Testament feast. 120 disciples go up and say, all right, Jesus, you know, we're going to just trust you. We're going to go in this upper room, and we're going to be waiting for 10 days. Okay. Well, everything that my dad ever taught me and my grandfather taught me and what my great-great-grandfather did, I don't remember any power from on high. What do you think, Peter? I don't know. John, what do you think? I have no idea. Matthew? I don't, the writings, maybe. I don't know. But there was a love and a unity for Jesus. And that love had to grow for one another. And they just waited. All right, Lord. You've spoken to us. You hear from the Father. So in that period of time, when the fullness of Pentecost came and the fire came down from heaven, they were in turn empowered. The church was birthed, the living empowered, not by religious form, not into religious form, not into buildings, but a living organism. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, you can read in Ephesians 4. And all of a sudden, God began to use those, and it didn't take very long, didn't take loudspeakers or anything else. Peter would speak, the hearts would be pricked, and 3,000 people would come to know Jesus. That's what we call the church age. Old covenant, new covenant. We're coming to this new covenant, having its fulfillment. Okay. Feast of Tabernacles. Feast of Ingathering. Trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will rise. 10 days later, the Day of Atonement. Paul spoke about being clothed from heaven. Perishable takes on the imperishable. The temporal takes on the permanent, the eternal. Clothed. Millennial reign. 1,000 years. Relationship. You will be brought into, because we've been called, Revelations, to the nations. We will be those that will train up, raise up, teach those the ways of the Lord, the law, the commandments of God. The fullness of the stature has access to the nations. If they see you, who do they see? They see him. It's not about you and me for that 1,000 years. Which then is the Father's, after 6,000 years, the Father's time of rest. The Father no longer wrestles with man for 1,000 years. But can you imagine 7,000 years is thinner than your eyelash compared to eternity. That's why he wants us to know his voice. The sheep hear my voice, and they know the voice of no other, not the world, not fear, not lack, not physical lack, not financial lack. Just see, the Father just decided to come in. You feel the difference? The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus. Jesus points us to the Father. That's why he said a few weeks ago, the greatest gift that the Father can give you and I, ask of me, of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will reveal Jesus, draw you close to him. He'll do a sanctifying work in your soul. Your spirit's saved, but your soul All I got to do is just cause us some difficulty and let you know who's in charge.
Right.
Not eat for 40 days? I don't think so. This soul needs food, really? Yeah. So that's, you don't have to worry about what's going on in the world, though you be mindful of it. Because what God's story is doing is commanding the world to fall in line. It's not the other way around. Mm-hmm. It's not a competition between good and evil.
No.
Come on, it's not a competition between good and evil in you or in the world. You're God's. He's alive in you, the Holy Spirit. All the power that created heaven and earth is inside of you. The power of the resurrection that rose Jesus from the dead, the person is inside of you. If he goes before us, is anybody going to mess with Dad? I don't think so. I don't think so. Because I'm in his house. And I don't just know him. Oh, do you know Jesus? Yeah, I know Jesus. But does he know you?
Amen.
Depart from me, you doers of iniquity. You search the scriptures. You go in and out of them all day long, thinking in those scriptures you're going to find me. But you know what? You never come to me.
Yeah.
What a wonderful privilege. What a wonderful privilege. Come on, smile and do something. Make it look like they were having a good time here. Those poor people, good thing they can't see you on the video, huh? Father, I thank you. Yes. Ooh, yeah.
Close.
Sure.
I just want to, I'm really loving what God's been speaking to us and making us aware that he wants to speak to us. And, you know, he's drawing us to himself. He's going deeper. He's not like just speak, but his presence to reveal himself to us. And so, you know, we're all in here. There's some of us at various stages. And I love the story today because it just shows, you know, how God continued to speak to Samuel and he obeyed and he grew and he matured and he went through all the stuff that he went through and then it's time for a new king. But what follows that, hearing the voice of the Lord and obeying it, there's anointing. God anointed Samuel all the days of his life and then he does it again in David's life.
Mm-hmm.
And that anointing was to release the future,
mm-hmm.
like you were talking about.
Absolutely.
And we do, that's our heart cry, to be in his presence in the house of the Lord and know him. Not know about him. Not be like the armies that David defeated that said, we know of their God, and he's, you know, we got to look out for that, you know, not that, but that they knew him. And I was talking on the way home from our leadership meeting. And I was asking Deb, because I know some of us are really trying to be in his presence and we're really seeking him to hear his voice. And I asked Deb Friday night on the drive home, I said, Deb, do you remember when the first time you understood that God was trying to speak to you? And how was that? And she says, yes, I do. Can she just share that with us? I think it might help.
Mm-hmm.
And the many ways that God speaks.
Amen. this was many, many years ago. You know, I know now that, of course, I knew the Lord and had heard him before, but this was the time that was pivotal in my walk. And it was during the feast. I think it was the first feast I ever celebrated of Tabernacles. And that's when Royal, our spiritual father, was here, and he'd written a book that was on the back table that I picked up, and it was called The Spirit of Unity. And I think it was the middle of the feast, which is interesting, because that's when Jesus reveals himself, he comes. And it was a Sunday morning. I had finished the book. It was very early. And I began to pray about the content of the book and what the Lord was really showing me. And at that time, I did not know what a spirit of travail was. But I was on my knees in my bedroom, and I was just weeping before the Lord, asking for what he was speaking in that book to help me to understand and let me be a part of what he was calling the church to be. And while I was kneeling on the floor, I heard geese. Now, we lived up above the river, and if you know about geese, they follow the river. But it was very loud, and they'd gone over the property, you know, all the time. They go from east to west and west to east, and it was time for them to go west. But it was very, very loud, and I just kind of continued to pray, and then I heard it a second time. And it sounded like the geese were circling over my house. It was very, very loud. And then I heard the geese a third time. And at that moment, I knew in my spirit that the Lord wanted to tell me something. And so I felt he wanted me to go to the window, at which time I did. And I pulled back the curtain, and I could see the flock of geese, massive flock of geese, flying once again over my home. And I heard the Lord say, now this was not an audible voice, but it was in my spirit. And he said, surely as the geese fly south every year, so shall I do this thing in you. And at that moment, I knew I'd heard the Lord speaks specifically to me, and it changed my walk with the Lord. And to this day, every time I hear the geese, it's like Christmas morning. I remember he takes me right back to that moment. It just penetrated me so much, and I was never the same.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you for the word.
Well, we're going to take communion.
Thank you for the word.
For those of you that have been with us this morning, yielding yourself to the word this morning in Jesus' name.